flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Digging deep into the annals here. A little rap, a little round and around. What goes around comes around. I'll tell you why. So I was just walking the halls. I went to our office to get some Cheez-Its. I had a little snack there. I got to go out to St. John's today, shoot the Red Storm report. Got a long day. And there's a lot of traffic coming back over that bridge by the time I wrap up that show. But it's a lot better when St. John's is winning, so I'm looking forward to getting out there. But anyway, I go back to get some Cheez-Its from our office, and Evan is in his office, right next to our office, talking to the big boss, Ryan Hurley. And Evan looked like he walked in at 4:26 in the morning. I mean, he's the only dude who takes a gummy and comes in like he's hungover. I mean, really, the truth of the matter is, that's why you do gummies. So you don't have to have 6 drinks and feel like ass the next day. You know, it's kind of a way to still have some fun, but circumvent the hangover. And this guy slumped in his... Well, he never really has good posture anyway. He's sitting there slumped. He's like, oh, dude, I had a rough night. I don't know what to tell you, Ev. Maybe because you don't sleep and your voice sounds like it's going to go any day and you do 9,000 extra shows a week. Maybe that's why you're exhausted. And I said to him, did you have fun at least? He goes, Yeah. He said, I was having fun on the air with Hoff. He said, but then when I went to bed, and Hoff, it's funny, you told me about this when I came in. He's telling me about these crazy dreams he was having. He was scared. He was paranoid. Oh, my God. 2 knuckleheads, you guys. Although I do applaud the effort. It was pretty cool, the symbolism of the 420th Rico with the symbolism of the 4 to April 20th.
Hey, you'll get there, too, with the Unkillables.
No, I won't do that.
You won't get the 420?
No, because I'll be a man and I'll take more than 5 milligrams and then I'll get in trouble.
You keep on taking jabs enough. Yesterday you said you guys are not going to be able to handle it. So, but if you're going to do it, take 20. Go all the way.
No, I said smoke a blunt. Yeah.
Dude, stop with it. I don't care. You're going to get the 420 and you're going to have your fun. Do your fun. We did our thing. It was good.
I might do it.
You could be a man about it. Listen, I'm not trying to take out the table and say, hey, by the way, we kicked ass yesterday.
No, I had a
good time.
Yeah.
Even though I really didn't, though.
Yeah, I know you didn't. This guy was more paranoid than than Evan. Two paranoid freaks.
That's what I hate about that stuff. It's been like that since I was a teenager.
I do think it's funny, and I really do think it's a funny thing that you guys did. I give you a lot of credit for it. I give Evan credit. I knew you would do it, even though you don't love doing it. But, you know, for Evan to do that, to have a little fun, didn't a caller recommend that? Is that how
we got
an email?
We got an email.
That's how
And
it was.
Then I ran into them at Amazing Day. and they're like, hey, I'm the guy. We are the guys that sent the email.
There you go.
You guys going to do it? I go, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow 3 days later, we're doing it. So.
Well, I want to get back to the calls here, but I will tell you, as I was walking back to our office, I'm like, Ev, you're the only dude I know that takes gummies for work. Like most of us, when we take them, we take it to get away from work, you know, to unplug. Oh, God. 888-808-1019. Let me get Anthony at East Meadow. What's going on, Ant? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, BT?
What's up, Ant?
No, I just heard you guys talking a little Giants. I'm a big Giants fan. I got two guys that I really am kind of, like, stuck on. One of them has been talked about a lot now. But the other one, I don't know if it's just me or if I'm missing something, but why haven't the Giants even tried or kicked the tires on Brock Purdy at all?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. Number one, maybe they just don't think the Niners are going to let him go. Maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's still not signed. And from what I've been reading, he's not getting any, like, crazy money. I think if they were smart, they would have at least tried to give him, like, a similar contract that they gave Jones. I know it's kind of PTSD because that contract didn't work out, but I think Purdy's obviously a lot more proven than Jones is.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are just...
I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible fit. I don't love it, don't hate it. I don't know. I mean, what is Brock Purdy? Maybe the answer is maybe something more than it seems like I'm giving up initially here, but what is Brock Purdy without that staff? I don't know. I'm not saying he's nothing, but are you really willing to find out? Nah. Just draft your own guy. Figure it out. Although, you know, I don't even love everybody that's coming out of the draft. It's a weird spot the Giants are in. I saw this, and I wanted to get to this. We haven't done a lot of baseball today. Today's been a big Nick day. Little Jets, as Aaron Glenn continues to round out his staff. So I saw this was last night. I forget the name of the podcast. I'm going to find it because I want to make sure I give it credit, not try to steal content. It's the one that Eric Hosmer is on, a former Royal, who was also on the Rico, I guess, back in the day, to give him gummies. And anyway, it's the Digging Deep podcast. This is 21 hours ago, but I saw it last night, but it's posted here. And this kind of pertains to Pete a little bit, not that it would necessarily work, but Bernie Williams recalls a story where he called George Steinbrenner himself when he was a free agent following the 98 season. Remember, he almost went to Boston. And Bernie basically tells a story about how he just had to intervene and said, all right, I've got to grab control of this. I don't like the tone of this negotiation. I don't like where this thing is going. Let me pick up the phone. Let me call George and let me get this thing done. Much like when Hal called up Judge from Italy. Much like when Bernie reached out to George during the 98 offseason. Hey, you know, I understand that Pete made a commitment to Boris and I don't even know the legality of it. Like, if Pete was to fire Boris now, this would be a players union thing. Maybe somebody knows. Pete, maybe you know. Maybe it came up with Evan. I don't know. If you guys know this, jump in. But if Pete fired Boris now, he probably still would owe him money for all the work that Boris has been doing. I mean, he's not going to do it for free, Scott Boris. He's Scott Boris. I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not even saying fire Boris. But what I am saying is get a little separation from Scott Boris. And, you know, maybe you take you took the Yankees bench coach. You took the Yankees number two hitter. Why don't you take a page out of an old Yankee great champions playbook? And why don't you have Pete Alonso pick up the phone himself and call Steve Cohen? I mean, why can't that happen? I mean, it seems like there's enough of a... I know Lindor is very close with Cohen. I don't know the depth of Cohen and Pete's relationship, but I'm sure at the bare minimum, it's one of, you know, familiarity and respect. Those are two pretty good starting points. What's up, Dove?
How would Boris react if Pete went over his head?
Who cares?
Who cares? I would think Pete's intimidated by Boris.
Well, what's he going to do, beat him up? What do you mean intimidated? What's he going to do? Ooh, you called. I'm going to meet you in the City Field parking lot and beat you up.
He's counting on Boris to get him the top dollar.
Yeah, and so far Boris has done nothing.
But he's going to do less if he's upset.
Well, I mean, I understand the question there, but I don't know that answer. I do know he should no longer really care what Boris thinks. He should care what Boris does.
What you said yesterday was right on.
What?
That Boris works for Pete. Pete has to tell Boris, get me a job with the Mets.
Correct. That's it.
hey, Scotty, structure it the best way you can. Don't make me look like a chump, like I came home begging with a cup looking for pennies. You know, get something that makes me look okay and keeps me home. I mean, but if Pete doesn't grab control of the steering wheel, then I'm sorry. And if the Mets eventually completely move on, which they very well, I mean, they might have already to an extent, but, you know, he hasn't signed elsewhere, so the door's slightly ajar. You got to capitalize on this. If he's waiting for the Mets to come chasing him, he could be waiting a long time because the Mets' position is quite clear, and the Mets have played this fantastically. There's no doubt about that. Let me get Anthony in Harlem. Ant, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, PT?
Yo, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. It's a little weird to hear it by yourself. It's a little more peaceful, right?
So. Nah, I miss my guy, but nothing I haven't done many a times. What's going on?
So, Pete Alonso, man. You know, the crazy thing to me is that Boris is leaking that this guy is getting offers from Toronto and Los Angeles, which is probably the only place in MLB that has a higher income tax for a guy like Pete. I mean, he has no options but the Mets. And, you know, and the bottom line is, like, I don't think Steve Cohen would deal with after this negotiation, I don't even think he would deal with Boris again. When he just gave one of his clients a nearly $800 million contract, and you know what he's trying to do is, like what they said in Goodfellas, he's trying to blank him out of his money when there is no market for Pete. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. And listen, one thing about Steve. Steve's no sucker. Now, Steve loves the Mets, and I'm sure Steve has always had a soft spot for Pete. He ain't cracking. I mean, I'm not saying that it's inconceivable that Pete Alonso winds up back with the Mets, but it will not be because the Mets made some massive concession. I can promise you that. It's because Pete was able to maybe rearrange some of his priorities and understand what's most important. And real, if it comes to this, and realize in his own mind, reconcile, hey, you know, I could probably be on the street an extra month or whatever, or wait till somebody gets hurt and maybe squeeze $10 more million out of somebody over a 3-year period, which is only 5 or a little less when you do the taxes and the agent fees. All right, but am I going to be happy? Now, if you don't have any money and it's for $4 or $5 million, well, then you do it because then it changes your world. If you've got money, which he already does, don't you think the better prudent play is to be happy? Unless the offer is just so much more enticing somewhere else, which it's not going to be. It's just not. Let me get Tommy in West Babylon. Hello, Tommy.
BT, how are you? Good afternoon. How's everything?
Everything's good, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. So I like what the Yankees did this offseason with regards to getting another starting pitcher and the bullpen help. And I think the Yankees can win the American League East and get to the World Series again. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at in the history of teams that had like a dominant three pitchers, you know, you'd like the 2001 Yankees had Mussina, Pettit, Clemens, and then you had the Oakland A's with Zito, Hudson. That's right. So, you know, the Yankees have a three starting pitchers that look dominant on paper, and then you still have Heel and Schmidt, which would be a bonus, and then you have a very good bullpen. And then with regards to the lineup, I know, you know, losing Soto stings, and I was hoping they were going to get Santander, you know, for his power. Mm-hmm. But when I look at this lineup now, you know, if Volpe and Chisholm can be a little more of a terror on the base path,
yes,
especially now with the rule that you can only throw over twice,
uh-huh,
you know, those guys should have like 30 stolen.
You can still throw over, but you have to pick them off. You can still throw
them off.
Yeah, I got to keep going.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, Ohtani stole 50 bases. There's no reason why these guys can't be in the double digits themselves, you know, especially.
Jazz stole 40 last year. He was.
Okay. So I like, you know, these guys should be getting their uniforms dirty every single game. And I think the Yankees may have a 95-win team the way it sits if nobody gets hurt and they use like a pitching approach towards winning. What do you think about this approach?
I think we're pretty much on the same page. I really like the Yankees offseason. Now, do I wish that they were able to keep Soto and they got Max Fried and, you know, brought in Bellinger to play center, get Judge off or play first base at that point, you know, keep Well, I didn't want Judge in center, so that was kind of the problem there. But yeah, of course, I wish they kept. So I love the pivot. I love the pivot. Like, you know, you guys thought I was coping. No, there's no coping going on. Yeah, it's going to be a playoff team. We all know that. Yanks will have a chance to represent the American League in the World Series. And they're going to have, I don't know, about 100 games or so to see what they need to address at the trade deadline. And I think that they will. Very well might be third base. Or if they determine, all right, you know what, maybe there's a better second baseman we could get. Let's boot, you know, I don't mean to start the season. I mean during the season. Let's put Jazz from second to get him back to third. Then we get this guy at second. You know, whatever it might be. There's obviously ways to go about this without entering the season with seven Hall of Famers. Like, I know that that's like kind of the old Yankee way, and a lot of you and me were used to that, but that's not my motivation anymore. I'll tell you what my motivation is. Just getting some guys on the field that can run and throw and catch. You know? I can't watch guys who are base to base. I can't watch guys who've got no defensive juice. I want to watch it. And I'm going to watch it, but I don't trust it, and I don't enjoy watching it. And I think this team's just going to be sharper, more juice, more pop. And I'll tell you this, too, you know, because I was talking to Boone, you know, on the air and off the air, and I'll save the off the air stuff for me and him, but for me, I think Volpe's the most important Yankee. Now, obviously, if Judge were to go down, that changes everything, but so that's the obvious, the most non-obvious answer. Like, if Volpe is if he becomes like 270-something, then Volpe's going to steal 35, 40 bases because he's on more. And he's going to have a few more home runs. Not that I need him, but he's going to have a few more. And he doesn't have to bat 7th, 8th, or 9th. He can bat 1st or 2nd, you know, whatever. Probably 1st because Judge will be 2nd. But he's got to earn it. He can't hit 230. Can't have an OPS of 670. Can't have an on-base percentage of 306. And this is year 3, man. This isn't year 1. It's not year 2. It is year 3. I think the pressure on Volpe is vast. Now, that's the obvious stuff. I don't know if it's so obvious. I don't really hear everybody saying that. That's what I think. Now, the good news is that I think he is wired in a way to deal with that and compartmentalize the stuff that he has to, and just, all right, this doesn't affect me. I'm all ball. You know, one thing that Boone did say to me, we're talking about like when he came in, when he first won the job in spring training a couple of years. Remember, he had that awesome spring. Now, you got to understand, at that point, you're getting mostly fastballs, and the hitters are ahead of the pitchers, whatever. But he just looked like a superstar. Basically, looked like Gunnar Henderson or Witt. You know, a little different, but he looked like a first-round pick. He's not looked like that often enough. But he told me, he said, listen, one thing, and I'll share this because this isn't out of school. He said, that guy's a killer. Like, he showed up and he was winning that job no matter what. Like, the Yankees are not even remotely worried about Anthony Volpe cracking or feeling the pressure. Now, no guarantees he's going to be the starter that they thought he was when they drafted him out of Del Barton. You know, I'm not saying that everybody's saying that. They have great confidence. But it's baseball, and baseball's hard. And it's been hard for him to be consistent. And the thing with him is there's just too many downs. Like, I was even talking to my son about this. I know it sounds crazy for a young kid, but I'm like, Cole, think about the great hitters. Like, the ones, even kids on your team and you and your age and everything, like, it's no value to be a kid who has two great games, all right, and then sinks, and you look up, and he's 0-for-12, and this applies to every level. Obviously, more the majors. I'm not talking about 10-year-old kids. I'm just a point of reference, but it applies to them as well. To dip down and go 0-for-12 or 1-for-13, and then shoot right back up to the moon and go 4-for-4, and then the next game have 5 strikeouts combined. Like, I know that that's not quite Volpe, but there's just too much erratic stuff to his performance. You got to be more straight. The guys who hit 3 bills are the guys who, now everybody's going to go 0-for-12 at one point. But I'll tell you what, the guys who hit 280, 290, 300, 305, I'm not talking about Boggs and Gwynn. I don't mean like 340, 350. But the numbers I just gave you, those guys, they might have one 0-for-14. They don't have multiple 1-for-21s. They grind out of it. And the way you grind out of it is by not giving away at bats and not striking out. And putting the ball in play and going the other way and getting lucky with a little bloop or a little 5-hop or a little bleeder. And then guess what? You break the 0-for-7 skid with a little bloop. You're feeling better. Boom. Next at bat, you smack one down the line. You pull it. Exit velo 109. Boom. Double. And now you're back. But if you can't fight your way out of it because your mechanics are all over the place, that's been one of Volpe's problems. Then you're never going to be consistently reliable and able to rely on. I don't know what version of Volpe we're getting this year. If I had to give you an answer, I think it's going to be one that we like. I do. I'm not going to say love. Like. But I got to see it. It's year three. You know, this is year three. Anthony Volpe played on like a lot of the best young players do. You know, he's not like Nimmo, who didn't play high school baseball from, I think, Wyoming, somewhere up there. I think it's Wyoming. Played club ball instead. And he was playing like USA baseball, high level club. Like Anthony Volpe's been on the field with the best players in his age and in this country since he was probably 12, 13. Like he's been exposed to that. So that's the way the youth baseball scene goes now. So if you are that guy, you're generally showing more signs earlier than not. It's not like a young quarterback necessarily. So I think he's got the most pressure. I really do. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the fan. We'll come back, get these calls. Got the call of the day. So we've got the Volpe stuff, obviously some of the Pete Alonso stuff. We've got Power Up coming up, which I cannot wait. And in honor of my one-eyed spirited partner, the top five songs with the word I in the lyrics. We'll hit you with that coming up. BT and Sal on the fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time to power up with BT and Sal.
I have a little fun with this. Mix it up. Each week we find a different topic. We've done top sitcom songs. You know, we'll get around. Maybe eventually top batting stances, top dunkers, top sneakers. I mean, you name it. There is really no end to where we can go. And we've got to capitalize on a vulnerable spot. Let's face it. Our partner is laid up. He has one eye patched over. And we basically have to exploit that and make fun of our buddy Sal. So I present to you the top five songs with the name or with the word I or eyes in the title. First up, number five, we go in descending order. How about this? Let's hear it.
She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes.
You know, the funny thing is that not every song on this list applies. Well, yeah, I guess so. Like, I hear this song and I like it. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is, like the raspy voice. I do vaguely remember the video from when I was a kid, Kim Carr. This is a good song, man.
Can I be honest with you? What? I thought this was Rod Stewart.
It sounds like Rod Stewart. That's actually not a bad pull. I know what you mean.
It's a girl singing.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Carnes.
It's Kim Carnes. Carnes with a C. C-A-R-N-E-S.
Yes.
What year is that? Is that 79, 80? What is that? 81?
I don't have it in front of me.
Ish. All right, Sal, that one is from my partner, Betty Davis Eyes. I guarantee he hates the song. I guarantee he doesn't like this song either. How about a little Dirty Dancing? This is Eric Carney. Now, all right, let's have a little fun hop. So you're driving. I know you have your presets when you're not listening to the fan.
Sure.
But sometimes we want to get away from work because we're here all the time. We listen to all the shows. We do, but we want to get music and news once in a while. You're driving. You're on the 80 station. You hear this song. Come on. You bouncing or you staying?
No, this song I'm staying.
You stay too.
Nice. Hungry Eyes is a good song.
I know it is. I never know with you.
I never watched the movie.
You never saw Dirty Dancing?
No.
They did a remake, too.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one either.
I didn't see the remake. The first one was great with Patrick Swayze.
I know. My parents were very much like, when I was interested, my parents were like, you can't watch that. They have sex.
Oh, yes. They are doing naughty things, those two. Now this, I got to tell you, Hop's, what I always term eclectic, vast musical tastes, has taken an irreparable blow. The fact that you don't know this song, which is number 3 on my list.
I am the guy in the sky.
Unacceptable. Yeah, but hold on. Before we get into it, look at Dove. Dove's getting into it, so that means I may be right. I might be justified. If Dove's into it,
I'm okay. No, stop trying to pass the buck on Dove. There's no justification not knowing this song. First of all, it's the Alan Parsons Project, right? Now, the only thing that's frustrating about this song, and sometimes, you know, like, you have Sirius, the music?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, if you have Sirius, you can bring that down a little bit, Dove. I think one of the, I don't know how new it is, but in the last couple of years, one of the functions, and is why I love Sirius with the music, and the sports not as much, but some of it. You, if you catch a song midstream, you could just hit rewind.
Ah.
And, or say if you're in the car for an hour, like a lot of times going to my son's games all over, you know, New Jersey, you're in the car for hours and I hear like a Guns N' Roses song. And then like 40 minutes later, maybe he's sleeping, I want to hear it again. I could just rewind and it just pops up. The thing about this song, Eye in the Sky, I don't know if you have it up. Can you? I'm going to give you a second to find that. I should have told you this before. My bad. Find the beginning. Because the beginning of Eye in the Sky, and play it whenever you find it. It's all good. I'll talk over it. This is the beginning of how Michael Jordan was introduced at Chicago Stadium. And like sometimes, and it's boring because I don't want to hear the instrumental part. I like the song, but I guess they cut it out in the version that you have. Like, that's fine. It's like a different, no, that's not it. It's totally different. I know, that's not how they introduced that guard from North Carolina. No, that's not it. Anyway, that's a great song, and the fact that you don't know it is again, unacceptable for a man of your musical standards. I'm not saying you have to like it. But the fact that you don't know it is weird. All right,
I don't know about that. Again, that song's a little bit. I'm looking for the Jordan thing, but I why would I know that? That was 82. I was born in 82.
Dude, Michael Jordan retired in the 90s. What do you mean 82? First of all, he was in college in 82.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh.
All right, leave the sports stuff to me. At least the minutia from the 80s. Now, I have always said that I've been much more of a bar guy than a club guy. Not that I didn't go a couple times. You know, I just like going to a bar. If I'm going to go when I'm young, especially now, I'd rather be at a bar, have a conversation, see what's going on. And invariably, I don't care what bar you're in. I don't care what college campus you're on or near. This song absolutely popped up. You,
a brown-eyed girl.
Van Morrison, how does this one sit with you there? Hoppy?
Oh no, this is a classic. I'm not denying it. My father used to rock this all the time when I was in his car back in the day. So
it's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a fun. Let's get drunk. We don't want to fight drunk. We want to just have fun and dance.
Let's pop gummies. Oh wait, no, they didn't have gummies back in the day. Did they have gummies back in the day?
No. When we were in college, no way.
Oh.
No, back then you had to still go to the park and get nickel bags.
What?
All right.
Jello shots.
Yeah. All right, and this one absolutely goes out to my partner because I know he loves this. There you go. There you go. There's only one acceptable song. Eye of the Tiger. Notice it's eye, not eyes, because right now Sal currently has one functioning eye. Eventually that will get back to two when Sal will get back in studio. Eye of the Tiger. What a great song. That was very abrupt there, Dove. Dove looks frazzled back there. I just saw him popping on the headphones and then like he was spinning. Oh, here we go. Yes, dude.
This is called Serious. It's a different song.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
is. It's a different song?
Yes.
Somebody call the press. She's going to call while you're talking.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Every time I've heard this on, like, the 80s station, Eye in the Sky follows every single time.
Well, is it? And let me ask you a question. But how does the album go? Does it go?
I don't know. I never had the
well,
album.
I've never heard of them. So you know more than, hey, music guru. I've never heard this before. I mean, I know this song. I've heard this before.
So
I didn't know that.
Yes. God, from North Carolina. Yeah, well, this is the Jordan stuff. And I told you about the whole, like, you know, it was a long twisting ride that I took you on. But when you could rewind songs on Sirius, this song frustrates me because I don't want to sit through this part. I want to get back to Eye in the Sky.
Well, it's two different songs.
But it's not when you try to rewind it, you knucklehead.
Well, listen, I don't know this band. So my guess is it's probably back to back on an album and they combine it together. That's going to be my educated musical genius guess.
Well, I don't know that you have any say in the matter since you don't know the song. And it's one of the most popular songs ever.
It's two different songs. You didn't even know what song it was.
At least I knew one of them.
No, but you said that, oh, this is the one that the Jordan does. No, it's not. It was a completely different song.
You took an 0-for-2. You never heard of it, and you didn't know what it was.
Well, listen, when you played the Jordan song, I knew what that was. But
by the way,
that's
true there. And there's been a lot of 0-for-2s going around here. Ask Booty.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get that. That was fun. Sean at Oceanside. Sean, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Yeah, you got to take the L on this one, BT. It's definitely two different songs. Two different songs. Yeah. I tried to get my wife to use this for our intro song for our reception at our wedding, and I got completely shot down.
Oh, really? When you introduced the wedding party?
Yeah.
That would have been a fun time coming out to that.
I thought it would have been perfect. Yeah. She totally nixed the idea, but what can you do?
What did you wind up coming out to? Do you remember? Do you even remember?
Oh, my God.
You don't even remember?
No, it's one of the Destiny Child girls that went solo or something like that.
You lost. You take the L. You take the L.
Yeah. All right, we'll both take the L on this one.
Fair enough. All right, Sean. Yeah, I got you, buddy. Thank you very much. See, like, to me... And I know that, like, Pink Floyd, The Wall, they have a lot of this stuff where a lot of the songs kind of blend in with the sound effects, the aerial sound effects, and you know what I'm talking about if you're a fan of The Wall. But, and they're all different songs, but I don't know. Now I'm confused. Maybe I should just take the L on this. What do you think, Dove? Should I? I mean, I don't really think I earned an L, but I'll just take it to keep it moving. All right. Where's the L chain? We'll get that thing.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right. Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Chris is up in Connecticut. What's happening, Chris? How you doing?
So this is the year for the Red Foxes, BT. They play St. John's in the tourney. Who are you going for?
Oh, my God. My alma mater or St. John's? You know, I saw this on the screen, and I thought you might go there. A win for St. John's in the tournament does more for my life professionally than because then I'd be calling games, and I'd be there. It would just be different. I'd have to say St. John's. I'm sorry, Chris. Sorry.
All right.
Are you disappointed with that? You are disappointed, aren't you?
I'm with UBT. We're similar years. I'm still haunted by the 4-point play at home, that game that they should have. That was the year.
I was there.
So
I was at the game.
I was there too.
Well, how are you going to hit me with that question? Like, St. John's and Marist are finally both amazing. That's what I'm going to get hit with. Who do you want to win?
Hey, which kid do you like more?
Depends what we're doing. There you go, the call of the day. You know, it's funny, too. I didn't get into it there. It just hit me. And he referenced that 4-point play. Trust me, I know that nobody cares, you know, about what happened in whatever 1996 or whatever year it was, 95 or whatever it was at Marist. I get that. But I just have to tell you this real quick aside. So, Hoff, imagine this, dude. The way the conference works is, especially for a smaller Division I, like mid-major, which Marist is, very good academic school. Basketball's having a good year, you know. But yeah, you know, you're not Kentucky, you're not UConn, you're not St. John's this year. You know, it is what it is. The basketball profile. So you're very rarely on TV anyway. The conference back then. Now everybody's on TV, but the winner of the conference would play the championship game on ESPN. And I'm like, that was a big deal because then you go to the game, you're on TV. They're college students, right? He mentioned the 4-point play. Now I'm going the next day. I think it was either the next day or 2 days on my baseball trip from Marist, like down to get our brains beaten in, like North Carolina, NC State, Duke. We're just going down there. We're sacrificial lambs. We're getting whacked, man. Everybody we're playing is ranked. We come back basically winless, but we start our season, right? 10-hour bus ride, playing cards, having a dip. Just awesome, but we just didn't win. Long story short, I had a keg party set up for after that game before we went away. And we're on the baseline getting ready. It's the quarterfinal game. I think it was FDU, getting ready to storm the court, and we're up by 4 with, like, maybe 9 seconds left. This kid from FDU drills a 3 in the corner, gets fouled, and 1-4-point play, goes to overtime, we lose! And we would have hosted the championship game the next night. So that's what he means by the 4-point play.
That's a heartbreaker.
And we were all on the baseline, even though it wouldn't have been the championship. Like me and five guys I played ball with, like, we're, you know, already got a couple beers in us. We're already snuck a few things in. Like, we're ready to just jump on the court because we're buddies with all the guys on the team. Danny Basil from St. Ray's, Alan Tomedy. We know Kareem Hill, all these guys. We'd hang out with them. And we lost up 4 with like 9 seconds to go. We go to overtime. That's the play. Yikes. All right. 888-808-1019. Let me get, how about Jimmy in Warren County? Jim, what's going on, bud? How you doing?
What's up, BT? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, Jim. What's going on, dude?
Oh, man, you're killing me today.
With?
Dude, with the songs. You know how Sal is. He's always yelling. He's got passion.
Yeah.
He's a hip-hop guy.
Yep.
Tupac, All Eyes on Me.
Yeah, that's a great
perfect
one.
Bro.
That's a good one. That's the song Changes was on that album, right? Changes.
Yeah. Can I throw one more thing out there?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead for it. Go ahead. Yep.
Die Hard Giants stands. Let's go, Chiefs.
There you go. Hey, listen, finally somebody said it. Yeah, there you go, Jimmy. There you go, dude. Yeah, you got to be rooting tooth and nail for Kansas City. Oof. Well, the Giants, I mean, I don't want to take a swerve here, but like the Giants' future is just, it's hazy. I mean, so is the Jets, but at least there's an energy around the Jets. I don't know. Just who's playing quarterback for the Giants? The division's a beast. Jaden Daniels is going to be an issue forever. Philly's really good. Saquon doing what he's doing. You know, if Dable and Shane don't win this year, they're both going to be gone. It's just, Let me get Alex in East Quag. Alex, what's happening?
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
I'll tell you, whatever points I was going to give you for Brown Eyed Girl were destroyed by you including wussly stuff like hungry eyes and
that.
Eye
it's
in the sky.
Kenny Carman.
Let me tell you, you left off one of the greatest rock anthems of all time for a show that comes out of commercials with AC/DC here and there. You left off Behind Blue Eyes by The Who, one of the all-time great anthems.
Well, for you,
you gotta have that off for hungry eyes. I'm glad I didn't go to high school with you, man.
Well, listen, Alex, do yourself a favor, dude. Start a podcast and play whatever music you want. And you know what's funny? I know you're a big Knicks guy too. You call all the time. Thanks for the call. I mean, come on. I always joke around. I'm in my musical time warp. Like if I can have a rotation of Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Billy Joel, the Beastie Boys, Eminem, you know, like 3 or 4, like in that genre, I would. The Stones, even though the Stones are earlier than that, Def Leppard for sure. I was never a big Who guy. I just never got into the Who. I know, Pinball Wizard. I mean, I got a few of their songs on my thing. I get it. But, I just don't love. What is Hurley? What is he texting me here? See, this is irresponsible by our boss. He knows I'm going to read this because I'm not going to talk about it tomorrow. And he says, let me see, his boy Tommy D from Comac weighs in. He says, BT's leaving In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. That's the one. In your eyes, the light, the heat. That
in
one.
In your eyes.
Oh.
There you go.
I'm incomplete. is Sacrilegious. He says that's one of his boys. I wrote back, I go, that's a soft one. That stinks. And he goes, and Hungry Eyes isn't. Let's say, I don't know. Anyway. So yeah, I guess you look at this and it's obviously subjective and you have a little fun and, you know, you're going to miss some obvious ones. What do you want me to, listen, I'm not going to nail every song. Troy's down in Virginia. What's up, Troy?
Hey, brother. Listen, every day down here, big Yankee fan. Yes. I've wanted to call you 100 times. All and right. I can't believe this is my first phone call to you.
That's
you got
awesome.
The wrong Alan Parsons Project song.
Well, first of all, thanks for making the call. Now, light me up. Talk
it's
to
serious.
Me. What? What's going on?
No, the song is called Sirius. Sirius.
Okay. Yeah, no, I figured that out. I didn't know that. I honestly thought it was just one song with a long instrumental. I'm like, come on, get to the good stuff. This is boring.
Yeah, that was the Bulls. They announced everybody in the Bulls, yeah.
Oh, I know.
So what do you think our chances are, theoretically, realistically, this year?
I think the Yankees are, I said this before, Troy. Well, you know, I've given my, what is yours? You know, this is the first time you call. Let me give you a little space. What do you think with the Yankees
well,
are going
you.
In?
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I take a lot of beating from my New York Yankee friends because I'm okay with not having the third base filled to start the season because I think we're going to kick royal butt in the American League. And as long as we pick up a third baseman at the trade deadline, I think we've got a great chance in October.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Troy, they closed up a lot of deficiencies. And by the way, man, thanks for making that call. I don't know what took you so long, but thanks, Troy. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Yeah, I mean, we keep fixating on third base, obviously, because, you know, me and Sal asked Boone about Jazz, and right now he thinks Jazz is going to start the season at second. That doesn't mean that if a very good second baseman becomes available that you can't shift. I mean, I'm not saying you really want to yo-yo Jazz Chisholm all over the field, you know, back and forth 2 years in a row. But you could, if it's a better fit, it makes you more complete, makes you better defensively. I just think the Yankees are really good. I think, you know, and now, I mean, listen, there's different degrees of belief in Carlos Rodon. I'm not saying if he takes the baseball in the playoff game, I'm like, all right, we're good to go. No, I don't believe that. But I do believe if he's healthy enough to make 30, 32 starts, that of the 30 starts, 80%, maybe a little bit more, are going to give his team, he's going to give his team a real chance to win. And guess what? That's only going to be increased by the fact that now he drops down a spot in the rotation and is going against, in theory, a worse pitcher than he's really ever gone against in his life. Because right now it's got to be Cole, it's Fried, it's Heel, and it's Rodon, and it's Schmidt. I mean, that is, those five arms are lights out. And if you didn't like Weaver, of course everybody liked Weaver in the closer's role when he took over, but if you didn't believe in Weaver maybe moving forward, well, guess what? You don't have to. Now Weaver can come into the eighth inning, and now you got Devin Williams, Pete Alonso jokes aside, you know? So, and you've got Loaizka back for a one-year deal. Who's electric? I just think they're going to catch it. I think they're going to hit. Yeah. I wish they had all this plus Soto. They don't. And they don't need Soto with all that they've done to get back to the World Series or at least get back to the playoffs. They don't. And they're going to have plenty of space. And I think one of the big differences, first of all, I think the Yankees 1 through 25, 26 is better right now than the Mets. I do. But I think one of the challenges for the Mets where, you know, I don't know how long, and maybe I'm wrong because I was wrong about the Mets last year, so it's possible it happens again. And I think they'll be competitive, but I don't think they're better than the Braves right now in Philly or the Dodgers or the Padres, although if the Padres keep getting rid of guys, that would change. The point is, the Yankees are going to have more room, more time to figure out who they are and, more importantly, what deficiency they've got to address. Whereas with the Mets, because the Yankees division and the American League just isn't as good as the NL. Whereas the Mets might not have that freedom and that latitude to just kind of wait. Because if you wait too long, you might be in third place in the division in July. And you might not be able to recover. I'm not trying to go all gloom and doom. Again, I love what the Mets are doing. I'd like to see them resolve the Pete Alonso stuff because I think they need him. Even though I don't love him as a player. It's ridiculous. It's not done yet. But, yeah, I've got very high hopes for the Yankees. Absolutely. Dominguez is huge. He's got to play well. Volpe, I've discussed, got to play well. Austin Wells, you know I like him. All right, guys, have an outstanding rest of your day. Is he back to planet Earth? Where's Evan? Still high? We got Evan and Tinky coming up next. Enjoy the Thursday, the boys. Next. We'll see you tomorrow on The Fan. Bye-bye.